Tonight is the 9th of August, 2016, and you've joined us for the fellowship of Pineville, Missouri, the Phillips family. And we decided to have a time of fellowship around the Word of God tonight, because tomorrow night we're going to be doing a talk show program with Jerry Maurer and Richard McCrory on the subject, the name of the Lord. What it means to know the name of the Lord, what it means to know the Lord. And that's going to take place at 8:30 Central Time. And I have sent out an announcement to a number of people on our email. And if you're interested in listening into that call, it will eventually be posted on Sermon Audio as well. But if you're interested in listening to it live, if you'll send me an email at rocknorrisstewart@gmail.com, I'll send you an invite so you can a link so that you can tune into that. The first song we're going to sing tonight is out of the old school hymnal, one of Mark's favorite songs. He's requested again. It's 363, 'Tis a Point I Long to Know. Mark loves this song. And, of course, this is written by John Newton at the latter part of his life. He wrote Amazing Grace at the beginning, and he wrote this at the end. And so people that brag about having such absolute assurance of their faith, maybe they should sing this song a little bit more. Go ahead, Mark.
'Tis a point I long to know, oft it causes anxious thought, do I love the Lord or no? Am I His or am I not? If I love, why am I thus? Why this going life must bring? Hardly sure can they be worse who have never heard His name. Could my heart so hard remain? Prayer, task, and burden free. Every trifle give me pain. If I knew a Savior's love, when I turn my eyes within, all is vain and dark and wild, filled with unbelief and sin. Can I be myself a child? If I pray or hear or read, sin is mixed with all I do. You that love the Lord indeed, tell me, is it thus with you? Will I join His saints to meet? Choose the way I want some more. Find in time the promise sweet. If I give my love the Lord, let me love me more and more. Touch me with thy love, I pray. If I have not loved before, help me to begin today.
Okay, Rosette would like to sing Psalm 30A out of the Psalter, page 35, Psalm 30A. O Lord, I will exalt You, for You have lifted me. My foes have allowed not to glory over me. O Lord, my God, I plead,
that you might heal and save. Lord, you that have ransomed and kept me from the grave. His saints will praise Jehovah and thank his holy name. His anger lasts a moment, his grace a whole lifetime. For sorrow like a pilgrim may tarry all the night, but then a shout of joy comes when dawns the morning light. In prosperous days I boasted, unmoved I shall remain. O Lord, by your favor, my bounds of strength maintain. For when your face was hidden, I soon was troubled sore. I'll cry to you, Jehovah, O Lord, I will implore. Is there in my blood profit when in the grave I dwell? Will dust proclaim your praises, your truth and glory tell? Oh, hear me now, Jehovah, be gracious unto me. To you I cry, Jehovah, O thou my helper be. You now have turned my sorrows to dancing full of joy. You loosen all my sackcloth and gird me with joy. To you sing songs my glory and never silently. O Lord, my God, I'll thank you through all eternity.
Well, let's sing the one right underneath it, Psalm 34a, and then before we go over to the next part of I hope that I got the right one there. At all times I will bless the Lord, in praise my mouth employ. My soul shall in Jehovah boast, the meek shall hear with joy. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt his name. In all my fears I sought the Lord, from him deliverance came. They look to him and raise him word, ashamed they shall not be. This poor man cried, Jehovah, from trouble set him free. The angel of the Lord encamps and round encompass set. All those about that do him fear and them delivered. O taste and see the Lord is good, who trust in him are blessed. Fear God, his saints, none that him fear shall be with want oppressed. The lions young may hungry be, and they may lack their food. But they that truly seek the Lord shall not lack any good. Lord, we thankful that we can worship and honor you and study your word, and you told us that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And we're thankful tonight that we, the three of us, are gathered in your name. And so we take your word seriously that you're in the midst of us this evening. We pray that you would be with us. We ask for your name might be exalted and everything that's said and done We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we see in Matthew chapter 18, that is a verse that, of course, Christ gave to his disciples after them asking him questions, and he taught his disciples, and he tried to convey to them that they should try to avoid offenses, and that they shouldn't despise the little children, and I believe that also refers to those that are new in the faith. And he also talks about how to deal with those who are brothers in Christ, and how often we are to forgive one another. And I want to just read some of chapter 18, beginning with verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a person with a doctor of divinity degree unto him and set them in the midst of them. Is that what it says?
No.
Jesus called someone with a master of divinity degree and set them amongst them. And Jesus called a person with a PhD in biblical studies and set them amongst them. And Jesus called Pharisees and Sadducees and set them amongst them. And Jesus called the high priest and set them amongst them. Jesus called the little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. He did not say, "Verily I say unto you, except you have a doctor of divinity degree or a master of divinity degree, or understand Greek and Hebrew and can translate the text back to its original manuscript, you should not enter the kingdom of heaven." He didn't say that. "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child..." Do you know very many people with doctors of divinity and doctors of PhDs in philosophy and religion and language interpretation and all this that are as humble as a little child? I don't. I've not met them. "And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones..." Now, you know, I consider myself a little child in the things of the Lord. I consider myself a little child, you know, as far as in the things of the Lord. So if one of these doctors of divinity or masters of divinity or PhD offends me, would this not apply? I ask the question. "Whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea." There's a lot of people that have offended little children who are new, fairly new in the faith. They are not... they don't have all of this theology and theological instruction, and they're going about offending people who are trusting in our Savior Jesus Christ and in the name of Christ. "Woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh." You know, these people that are out here offending these little ones, that are trying to control and manipulate and trying to set themselves up on a high pedestal, wanting all the preeminence and so on in the body of Christ. Woe be unto them. Woe be unto them, says Christ. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter life halt or maimed rather than having two hands and two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Everlasting fire. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than to have two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. If you know someone that's new into the faith, fairly new believer in Christ, you know, and they don't understand, you know, everything about eschatology. They don't understand everything about textual criticism. They don't understand everything about, what it means, what tulip means. They don't understand totally everything about these doctrines. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. If a little one is believing, has been given the faith to believe in Jesus Christ, that Christ has cleansed them from all sin, and they believe the Bible regarding these great truths, take heed not to offend them. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. Jesus Christ didn't come to save the righteous. He didn't come to save the self-righteous. He didn't come to save part-time sinners. He didn't come to save those who deny that they're sinners. He came to save full-time sinners. He came to save that which was lost. How think ye? If a man have 100 sheep and one of them is gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth in the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? You know, are you and I seeking those out who've gone astray and building them up in the most holy faith and comforting them? Are we saying to them, comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. If so be it that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more of that sheep than the 99 which were not astray. You know, there's a lot of people out there that are in what I call social Christianity. Social Christianity. They're locked in, you know, to the little plan, aren't they? They're locked in to the little plan. They're locked in to the denomination. They are very much in the queue. They're members of a church. And I want you to know they pay their tithes every Sunday. They have the nods and the approval of all the other fellow church members, and they've got each other's backs. But let some little one come into the fold that they don't know, and how are they treated? These people are the 99. Christ says, he rejoices more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Went not astray. You have somebody in your church that everybody is knocking. Oh, that person's got this and this sin. That person's struggling with this. That person's struggling with that. that person, look at that person, look at that, look at that, look at that, look at that. Wait a minute. You know, maybe you ought to get out a mirror, one of those vanity mirrors that magnifies itself, and look at yourself in the mirror. You'll see plenty of faults and failures right in your own face. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Look, the little ones are the ones we should be building up in the most holy faith. The ones that are fairly new to understand the truths of grace are the ones we should be building up and edifying and encouraging, not tearing down, not trying to find everything wrong with them. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto them as a heathen man and a publican. There is a time for accountability. There is a time when someone who is going down the road and touting false doctrine and trying to, and maybe not even aware of it, but is causing others offenses, then they are to be rebuked. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Verily I say unto you, whosoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Lord, of my Father which is in heaven. Now, here is the context. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Look, God has our backs. God has our backs. He gave his back to the smiters, remember? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And by his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. The Lord's laid on him the iniquity of all of his elect people. And so, you know what? It would be much better if you consider yourself a little child. A person that doesn't know that much about the things of the Lord, than going around with a pompous attitude and telling everybody, I don't only have one doctor, but I have two doctors, and I'm going to put it on my website. It'd be a lot better if you, for your own spiritual condition, if you're pastoring a large church and it's going to your head, if you resigned and took a little itinerant church of four or five people and ministered to them. It'd be a lot better for you if you're counting on your 401k plan and your reserved parking space in your church, and you're getting the accolades of all these people that are exalting you and making you feel like you're the greatest thing since sliced butter. It would be to your spiritual betterment to resign that church and go paint houses, or go slop hogs, or go mow yards. You know, look, God sees the heart. And he sees when you're you go into these association meetings and you get put up on a pedestal and everybody treats you like a pope, treats you like a pompous, I'm not going to use the word, you can put it in, treats you like a pompous, whatever, because that's what you are. That's what you are. It's popery. But it's Roman Catholicism, you know? If you think that you can go out and treat those little children in the faith and to bind their consciences and put on them their shoulders more than they can stand, you're no different than the Pharisees and the Sadducees during Christ's ministry that he came against these same people in that time. He said, you put on burdens. They can't take it. That's what they were trying to do. That's what Peter was going to try to do. You know, those Jews had a collusion with Peter, and they were going to demand the Gentiles to be circumcised and all these other things they were going to have to do. Bringing them back under the old law service. And if you're demanding people have to do such and such to be a part or a member of your church, you know, they have to do this, they have to do that, they have to tithe, they have to tell you how much money they're giving, they have to be baptized by you, they have to be a member of their church, they have to do this and this and that. Look, don't offend the little ones. Don't offend them. Very, very dangerous spiritual position to be in, go around offending the little ones. Build them up in the faith, the most holy faith. Don't tear them down. You know, did Jesus tell the lady at Samaria, you can't fellowship with me until you let me baptize you? No, he said, I'll give you living water, but you'll never thirst again. Did he tell Zacchaeus, come down from that tree and you go and get baptized, then I'll go to your house and have tea with you? Did he tell Mary Magdalene when she came in and was weeping and so on over her sins, well, first you better go get baptized before we can fellowship together? Give me a break, people. You know, Paul said, I didn't come to baptize. And there's a lot of people putting an awful lot of emphasis on baptism. There's nothing wrong with baptism, but it's the way you're going about it. And I want to go public and saying, the Lord being my helper as a little one in the faith, I will never become a member of a denomination. I will never become a member of a denomination. You change the word around and it means demonation. Demonation. Jesus wasn't a member of a denomination. He said, oh yeah, he was a Nazarene. No, he was from the country of Nazareth. Okay? They were first called Christians at Antioch. And that wasn't a denomination. And what ended up being a denomination? Rome. And what did Rome do? The same thing that a lot of these people are doing today, trying to lord it over the flock. Trying to lord it over. Put all these burdens on them, they can't handle them. Well, that's what's on my mind tonight. And I hope that people that listen to this will take it to heart. And Jesus Christ is all we have. He doesn't have any requirements to be a member of his church, because he's met all the requirements. You know, he's met all the requirements. He said it was finished. The veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. There are no requirements to be a member of God's elect family. He's the one that chose us in him from the foundation of the world. You know, we didn't choose ourselves. Okay, do we have a selection? number 2, page 2. 212.
Okay.
First one is
212.
For weak and worthless,
though I have a rich, almighty friend. Jesus the Savior is his name. He freely loves and without end. He ransomed me from hell with blood, and by his power my foes controlled. He found me wandering far from God, and brought me to his chosen fold. He cheers my heart, my wants of twice, and says that I shall shortly be enthroned with him above the skies. Oh, what a friend is Christ to me.
We have another selection. The number, please. 266. 266?
Yeah.
266. Mark, you want to start that?
Yeah.
Love is the greatest thing this world has ever known. It fits us for God's service here, and leads us nearer home. Without love preaching vain, religion's just a show. Present your only cumber ground, on which no fruit will grow. Though we should give our goods to feed and clothe the poor, it could not save us from our sin, nor open heaven's door. And though our bodies burn in human sacrifice, this never could atone for sin. Jesus must pay the price. Love makes us suffer long, and not to seek our own. Help us to act as Christians should, and imitate God's Son. Our faith and hope will end when heaven we shall see. But charity will still live on in all eternity. Okay, the last one I want to sing is a song called Fear Not, Little Flock. You know, it is a little flock. The Bible says, page 481, the Bible says that broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that find it. Narrow is the way that leads to life eternal, and few there be that find it. Many will be on the wide and broad way. I saw a sign the other day saying, Broadway Baptist Church. What a name for a church, Broadway. Broadway Baptist Church. The souls of the
was to sing for wealth, the Lord shall soon require. The riches which are stored above shall never there expire. Fear not, little flock, fear not, fear not. Thy Father knows thy need. Fear not, little flock, fear not, fear not. He will his children feed. Behold and see how lilies grow. They give thy soil nor leave. Yet kings in all their royal dress are not arrayed like these. Fear not, little flock, fear not, fear not. Thy robe is sparkling white. Fear not, little flock, fear not, fear not. The Savior is your life. If God so clothe the forest green, whose bleed will soon be gone, shall he not much more glorify his chosen and born of. Fear not, little flock, fear not, fear not. Thy God is on his throne. Fear not, little flock, fear not, fear not. He'll come and take you home.
Dear Lord, we pray that you would take your word and what's been said and hopefully cause it to not return of you void. You said your word will not return of you void. And those that hear it will apply it, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.